As little kids, we would always want to go out into the lake or the swimming pool to cool off. On the way there, we were super excited and couldn't wait to get in. However, once we saw the size and the depth of the water, we had second thoughts. Our parents would be 5 feet from us, standing in the water, coaxing us to jump in, convincing us that they would catch us. It's either the hot sun beating down on us, or the tenacity of little kids' willpower that finally allowed us to jump in. Another common summer ritual for little kids is to bike around everywhere. None of us were just able to jump on a bike and know exactly what to do. Our parents taught us the ways how to pedal and how to stay balanced. Learning to ride a bike is great until the first fall. The kid gets up and looks at the parents like, "Why'd you make me do that?" But through determination to get it right, and through the parents' teaching, that the child gets back on the bike and learns what they did wrong so they'll get it right the second time. As simple of a task like jumping into water or riding a bike, at that age, it shows a tremendous amount of willpower, and it shows a tremendous amount of faith. Now, when we are older, we still put our faith into many things. Every day that we drive, we put faith in other drivers that they'll stay on their side of the road. Also, for some reason, we still put faith into our Kansas City teams. We put faith into thinking that we put our math homework into our backpack so they'll have it at school the next day. All these examples are examples of faith, but all of them are non-lasting things. Spiritual faith is lasting and a much more important subject. God doesn't leave us guessing on what faith is or how to be faithful to Him. Hebrews 11:1 defines faith. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. And according to the Webster's Dictionary, faith is an unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. And the Westminster Dictionary of the Bible explains faith as an act of principle. It is an act of both the understanding and the will. You believe even though you don't physically see it. God gives many examples of faith throughout the Bible. The Old Testament sets forth the life of the servants of God as life of faith. And in Hebrews 11 gives a concise summary of these faithful followers. Noah made the ark after God told him to, through his faith to him. Before the flood, there hadn't been any rain. The idea of water falling from the sky was new both to Noah and to all the other people. Even though everyone else ridiculed Noah for building the ark, Noah had faith in God, and he and his family were rewarded for it. Their faith gave them life after the flood. Abraham left his home and his family to go to an unknown land because God told him to. Through her faith to God, Sarah, his wife, had faith in God when God told her that she was going to have a child, even though she's well past the childbearing age. And by faith, Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac, whom he had been waiting his whole entire life for, just because God told him to. Remember the boy David had faith that God would deliver the Israelites when he stepped up to take on the giant Goliath. Without faith, none of these godly men and women would have pleased God. In the New Testament, Jesus aimed at creating in his disciples a complete trust in himself as Messiah and Savior through his miracles and his teaching. Remember the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, who had the faith that if she just touched Jesus' garment, she would be healed? Jesus says in Matthew 9:22, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you." Also in Matthew 8:5-10, a centurion comes to Jesus knowing they can heal his servant. "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but by say the word, and my servant will be healed." And in verse 10, when Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." And later in Luke 17:5, Jesus is teaching his apostles and they ask him to increase our faith. They're beginning to understand how important faith is and how much and they need more of it. Matthew 17, Jesus tells them that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe, and that He exists, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." That's how fundamental and necessary faith is. In Paul's letters, he explains again and again that the faith is trust in Jesus, believing his truth and his teaching, the redeeming work he accomplished on Calvary, and therefore a total submission to Jesus the Son of God and his message. Our Savior died in our place because of our sin, making possible the justification with God, adoption into his family, and the sanctification in our lives. His death brings redemption for our sins. We can trust this is true by God's raising him from the dead. Romans 10, 9 through 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is the Lord and believe with your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you will confess and are saved. Paul explains that salvation requires belief or faith, that it is readily available to anyone who would receive it freely through God, through Christ. When Paul and Silas were asked by the Philippian jailer, "What must I do to be saved?" they replied in Acts 16:31, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." The jailer and his household not only had faith, but followed through with baptism and were filled with great joy. Paul said in Philippians 3, 7 through 9, Philippians 3, 7 through 9, "But whatever is to my profit, I now consider loss, for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing that Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." Faith is where the salvation process begins. Growing in faithfulness is listed in the fruit of the spirits in Galatians 5. We should continue to grow in our faith our entire Christians in We should grow in our faith our entire Christian lives, fixing our eyes on Jesus, so we can share our faith with others. Do you believe in God? Do you have faith that Jesus is the Christ? How do these beliefs motivate your life? I'd like to finish by reading 1 John 5, 1 through 5. "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is the love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God."